Hello and welcome to this Canadian Opera Company podcast sponsored by Decca, the opera label. I'm Jana Wichler.
And I'm Gianmarco Segato.
Good morning, Gianmarco.
Good morning.
Well, tomorrow we're going to launch, or the day of recording is a day before we launch our new season. Mm-hmm. And we're so excited about that. And this is what we're talking about today, our 2011-2012 season. And this is going to start with the company premiere of a classic lyric tragedy by Gluck.
Yes, Iphigenie en Tauride, which is the French title, Iphigenia in Tauris, is the first opera in the season. And we're very excited because the star, the lead role, will be sung by mezzo-soprano Susan Graham, who is one of the world's leading mezzo-sopranos in general, but certainly this role is something she has sung all over the world. She sung it at the Met, she sung it at Covent Garden. So it's very exciting to have a singer who knows the role so well and who's an amazing artist. I've heard her in recital, and she's one of these beautiful voices who communicate emotion with great feeling and depth.
And she's doing it at the Met this winter, isn't she?
Yes, it's coming up, actually, I think in February. People could get a preview of it. It's going to be one of the HD transmissions.
Yeah, so if you want a preview of Susan Graham before you see her in Toronto, that would be the place to go.
Now, at the beginning of the podcast today, we heard one of Iphigenie's great arias, O Malheureuse Iphigenie, and that was from a recording that was made in 1999, a live recording on the Archive label, with Mark Minkowski conducting Les Musiciens du Louvre, and the Iphigenie, or Iphigenia, was Mireille Delounche.
What a beautiful aria.
Mm-hmm. It's
absolutely
haunting.
Gorgeous. I heard it, and it's one of those pieces that you think you've heard before and you're sure you have. I've never really identified it, so I was thrilled to hear that. And Iphigenia, I'm wondering, I'm not sure about the pronunciation. I keep saying Iphigenia, which I think is probably the Italian.
Oh, I think so. Yeah,
Iphigenia.
If we were to say it in English, I think it's Iphigenia.
If anyone has any particular insights into that, maybe they'd like to let us know.
Yeah. And Susan Graham will be leading an amazing cast. We have Canadian baritone Russell Braun returning as Iphigenia's brother Orestes. And former COC Ensemble tenor Joseph Kaiser will be appearing as his best friend Pylades. And Joseph Kaiser is another one of these singers who's been making a great name for himself all over the world. And it's great to have him back at the COC.
That's right. When he was here as part of the ensemble, he was actually a baritone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's made such a successful transition into being a tenor.
Mm-hmm. He's probably most well known. He was in the Kenneth Branagh movie of the Magic Flute, and he sang Tamino in that. We'll also be hearing another great Canadian soprano, Catherine White. She will sing one performance of As Iphigenia on October 15th.
The young Spanish conductor, Pablo Heras Casado, is currently leading our performances of Nixon in China this winter 2011. And he'll return next year to conduct, or rather later this year, to conduct 8 performances of Iphigenia, which run September 22nd to October 15th at the Four Seasons Center for the Performing Arts.
Yes, and he's interesting because obviously he's very interested in contemporary music with works like Nixon in China, but he also leads a period Baroque ensemble in Spain, so he's got that background as well.
Robert Carson, who is directing our spring production of Gluck's Orfeo et Euridice, is going to return to direct Iphigenia, and this is a production that's already played to great acclaim in London, Chicago, and San Francisco. If you go onto our website, we have lots of information about the 11-12 season, and there are photographs of Susan Graham in this production. There are photographs from all of our productions next year, except The Double Bill, which is new, and Rigoletto, which is new.
Right.
But you can see costume sketches.
And we'll listen to another track now from this opera. This is Orestes' aria, Dieu qui me poursuivait, sung by Simon Keenlyside.
J'ai trahi l'amitié, j'ai trahi la nature, des plus noirs attentats, j'ai comblé la mesure. Dieu, frappez, frappez le coupable.
The fall of 2011 also marks the return of Verdi's perennial favourite Rigoletto in a new production, and this is set in the rather rich, ribald surroundings of a 19th century gentleman's club. Mm-hmm. It has a beautiful Victorian feel, magnificent room, wood panelling, very much set in a world of male power, mm-hmm. and the kind of power games that go on between them. Christopher Alden, who directed the COC's highly acclaimed production of Wagner's The Flying Dutchman last season, returns to direct this new production.
Baritones Quinn Kelsey and Lester Lynch share the role of Rigoletto. His daughter Gilda is sung by sopranos Ekaterina Sedovnikova, who just sang the role at Covent Garden, and also COC ensemble member Simone Osborne, who is one of our Paminas in our current production of The Magic Flute, is returning to sing four performances as Gilda. And the tenors, Jana?
Dimitri Pitas and David Lomelli will both be making their COC debuts, and they'll be sharing the role of the Duke of Mantua. COC music director Johannes de Boos will be leading the forces on stage and in the pit. There are 12 performances from September 29th to October 22nd. There's so much well-known great music from Rigoletto. It's very hard to choose just one piece. But we're going to get a taste of the music by listening to Rigoletto's great aria, Cortigiani Villa Razza Danata. Basically, what's happened, Rigoletto is not a particularly likable character to start off with. He's the Duke's sort of sidekick, he's his jester, and he's constantly goading the Duke's cuckolded victims, you know, the other men whose wives the Duke has seduced. So he laughs at the pain of the other men in the court, but when he himself is put in a position of finding his daughter at great risk, you really see for the first time his absolute heartbreak at, he wants to protect her so much, he's such a loving father, and he begs the courtiers here to please show him mercy. And well, he curses them and then he pleads with them. It's an incredible aria. We're going to hear Piero Cappuccilli in a Deutsche Grammophon recording with the Vienna Philharmonic, conducted by Carlo Maria Giulini.
Venite tutti!
contro me.
Some listeners may remember an episode of Frasier, the television series a few years ago, when he attempts as part of a PBS fundraising venture, and he goes on television and he's going to sing Cortigiani, and he's been rehearsing, and I won't tell you what happens, but it's a very funny episode.
I just can't imagine him doing that.
Well, winter 2012 opens with Puccini's Tosca. This is one of the great hallmark diva roles in opera, which will be sung by our own internationally renowned diva, Canadian soprano, Adrian Pijonka. Adrian's going to be singing in our upcoming production of Strauss's Ariadne auf Naxos, and she was more recently with us as Leonora in Fidelio. Also appearing as Tosca is COC favorite Julie Makarov, and in recent seasons, she sung the title role in Rusalka, and she was center in The Flying Dutchman last spring to great critical and audience acclaim.
That was a thrilling performance, center, I thought. I was incredibly impressed by her, and I think it really showed her potential for singing a role like Tosca.
And they are joined by two tenors making their COC debuts, Uruguayan tenor Carlo Ventre and a young Brazilian, Thiago Arancam. They'll be alternating as Cavaradossi. An American baritone, Mark Delavan, also debuts at the COC as Scarpia. Italian conductor Paolo Carignani will be leading the soloists, the orchestra and chorus in 14 performances from January 21st to February 25th. That's 2012. Now, the production is one from 2008, and this is a very lavish piece. It features Empire-era costumes and beautiful sets, depicting the churches and palaces of Rome, and of course the battlements at the end of Castel Sant'Angelo. Mm-hmm.
The lighting, especially in the second act, I thought was just really atmospheric, and it really created that spooky mood at the end of the second act when Tosca's creeping out.
Now, without doubt, one of the greatest Toscas ever, and my personal favorite, was Maria Callas. And in 1953, she recorded the role for EMI, and now this recording, you're telling me, Gianmarco, is now been...
It's because of the copyright is over, and so Now a lot of it's sort of free for all the record companies can take these recordings and produce their own versions of them. So luckily for us, we can now play it because it's part of the Universal sort of stable of recordings on the Membram label. Mm-hmm. But it's this very famous recording that's pretty well in all the books noted as the Tosca to have.
Because she and Tito Gobbi did this in 53 and then in 63. Was it 63 or 62?
Yeah, the second recording was later. I can't remember the exact date. And that's good as well, but I think the earlier one is considered the better one.
A voice is a bit fresher.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to hear part of that recording now and listen to the great Maria Callas singing Tosca's Act II aria, Visi d'Arte. In this historic recording, Victor de Sabata conducts the La Scala Orchestra.
The winter 2012 season is not only exciting for the reappearance of Tosca, but the COC and Canadian premiere of a recently written opera, Love from Afar, or the original French title is L'Amour de Loin, by Finnish composer Kaija Saariaho. This opera premiered at the 2000 Salzburg Festival and has since gone on to become one of the most performed operas of its time. It's a very exciting production. It appeared first at the English National Opera recently, production by Daniele Finzi-Pasca, who is most well known for his work with Cirque du Soleil.
And other cirques.
Yes. The composer drew her inspiration for the opera from the life and song texts of Geoffrey Roudel, who was a French prince and troubadour of the 12th century. And he wrote poems very much in that troubadour tradition, where you idolized a woman who you wouldn't necessarily have met, but you sort of put her on a pedestal and
like courtly love.
Yes, and that's sort of the basis for this opera. There are only three characters. You have Geoffrey, you have the woman who he's writing the poems about and admires from a great distance because she's in Tripoli, he's in France, her name's mm-hmm. Clémence. And there's a pilgrim, a third character, who communicates between the two of them and brings letters back and forth and descriptions of what they look like. And finally, he makes the journey towards the end of the opera to go meet her. And I won't give away what happens, but it's very moving.
Sounds like an old technology online
love
affair.
Exactly. Pre-email. Yeah. Very pre-email. As Clémence, we welcome the Canadian soprano Erin Wall. She's been singing at the Met at Chicago, and it's very exciting to have her making her debut here in Toronto. And Russell Brom will be making his second appearance of the season. He'll be singing Geoffrey, and we welcome back former COC Ensemble singer Christina Szabo, mezzo-soprano, who has sung many lead roles with the company since her time in the ensemble. Most recently, she was Idamante in last season's Idomeneo. Mm-hmm. And COC music director Johannes de Boos will be presiding from the pit in 8 performances, which run from February 2nd to the 22nd, 2012.
If you go to our website, you can see some photographs of the production, and it really is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Some of them are absolutely gobsmacking, mm-hmm. but there's beautiful fabrics and lighting yeah. and just surprises, as visual surprises that
there's
just emerge throughout the piece.
A lot of movement, dance-type elements, and interesting sort of shadow puppetry in some parts to illuminate the story.
And acrobats.
Yes, right? Acrobats. That's where the Cirque kind of influence comes. So it's a visual spectacle. It's really going to be something.
And the music.
The score is very beautiful. It's very rich orchestration. But the vocal lines kind of float above this kind of rich sound and are very lyrical and quite gorgeous.
The music felt very dense when I heard it. Mm-hmm, there's so mm-hmm. much in it.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
A lot to discover there. We'll hear a selection now from the final act of the opera with Dawn Upshaw as Clémence, with the Finnish National Opera Orchestra and Chorus under Esa-Pekka Salonen in a 2004 Deutsche Grammophon recording.